Uncertainty and peace, unknown and trust, sorrow and joy. While at first these words may seem contradictory or polar opposites, are they also mutually exclusive? Must they only exist in the absence of each other, or can they be experienced at the same time? Over the past few weeks, as I prepared for this homily, thoughts such as these spun around in my mind and in my heart. The Israelites in the first reading and the disciples in the second may have had similar thoughts. They were presented with apocalyptic prophecies, an unveiling of end times, of tribulation and unrest, of nations and governments rising and falling, of uncertainty and unknown. How did they receive that news? What are the parallels with today? Perhaps only 13 days post-election, some comparisons are obvious. We live in a time of great polarization, of division and tension in our culture and politics. What will come next? In such times, do we look to ourselves, clinging to an elusive sense of control, of self-determination, or do we look to Jesus? In the face of the unknown, do we experience anxiety or peace? Perhaps the difference is in the recognition and understanding that God's got this. In our second reading next weekend from the book of Revelations, we are assured that his presence is unending. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What might a lived experience of this truth look like in our lives? Allow me to share two significant periods in my life. Both were filled with uncertainty and the unknown. The first was a time of anxiety, a sense of loss of control, of distrust. The second was a time of peace, of joy, of hope. Perhaps you can identify with similar times in your own life. In the summer of my 14th year, my family moved to Unalakleet, a fishing village on the northeast coast of Alaska. There, my parents were to be teachers at a mission school. With no roads in or out, Unalakleet was only accessible by bush plane or by boat. In those times of no internet or cell phone, to describe Unalakleet as isolated would be an understatement. Yet I grew to love my new life there. The vast wilderness, the close relationship with new friends, the learning of the wonderful native culture. Things were, however, going to change for me drastically. Between my junior and senior year, I felt my life cast into chaos with the announcement that the school would be closed due to lack of funding. I and others prayed that funds would be found to continue our service in Unalakleet, but it was not to be so. In my limitedness, I could not fathom where God's will was in this. Moving back to the lower 48, to a school in which I knew no one, I felt a loss of control, anxiety, sorrow. I was angry with God, and while I now know that he longed to hold me in his arms to comfort me in his distress, I looked only to myself. Everything around me I viewed as a potential threat. The only person I felt I could trust was myself. Yet the more I fought for control, the more it slipped through my fingers like hot, dry sand. In my uncertainty, there was no peace. In the unknown, there was no trust. In my sorrow, there was no joy. It was a dark time. What a contrast with the second period in my life I will share with you. When I said yes to God's calling me to the diaconate, I was also faced with uncertainty, the unknown, a relinquishing of control. Diaconate formation requires a significant amount of time and effort. With a family and a full-time job, how would I find time for college classes, for reading, for writing papers? What meetings and retreats would be scheduled in conflict with my employment obligations? When UPS announced that some drivers would be required to work on Saturday, I couldn't help but wonder how that would conflict with the ministries I was involved in. Unlike my response to uncertainty and the unknown that I had when leaving Alaska, this time I was filled with peace and joy. While there may have been brief moments of wondering how things would come together, I had faith that God was at work in this. I knew that I wasn't the one to be in control. I sometimes use the analogy that in many ways my diaconate formation was like driving a car down a highway lined with traffic lights. I drove full speed, red lights right ahead, and each time I hit one, it would turn green. In uncertainty, there was peace. In the unknown, there was trust. In some sorrow, there was joy. In these two shares, the difference for me was the knowledge in my head and the experience of faith in my heart that God has this. With degrees in psychology and philosophy, it is often easier for me to experience things here and not so much here in my heart. While the knowing in my head is good, the being in my heart is key to relationship. Even when we do not understand why things around us are happening, we are assured that, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, we know all things work for good for those who love God, who are called to his purpose. When we live this belief, it changes our way of being. Did the Israelites of the Old Testament place their trust in God when faced with uncertainty? While many turned away to idols or the gods of local cultures, Joshua declared, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Recall this past August on the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time when we read in the Gospel according to John that after Jesus shares with his followers, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him," many of Jesus' disciples left and returned to their former ways of life. In the face of uncertainty, Peter, however, responds, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." To whom do we identify with? The wayward Israelites or Joshua? The disciples that turned back to their former ways of life or Peter? Please allow me to share a favorite passage from Romans, a foundational stone in my walk with Jesus in times of uncertainty. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This wonderful truth, known here in our heads, but even more importantly, truly realized here in our hearts, can carry us through any adversity. I believe that this experience of Jesus present to us, in us, and through us is key to uncertainty and peace, unknown and trust, sorrow and joy, not being mutually exclusive, but often two sides of the same coin, existing in harmony with each other. Are we open to the gentle stirrings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts? Do we draw upon the graces he so generously offers us through our baptism and confirmation? Do we recognize his presence in the scriptures that we read? Do we see him in the faces of our brothers and sisters, especially those most vulnerable? Do we experience his boundless love and mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation? Or in adoration when we sit quietly in his presence, loving him, but even more importantly, being loved by him? Greatest of all, do we open our hearts to be deeply joined in Jesus, truly present in the Eucharist, body and blood, soul and divinity? As we soon come forward to accept him into our very selves, may we surrender to transformation. May we accept the peace offered to us in seeming uncertainty as we pray, "Jesus, I trust in you." My prayer for each of you, my brothers and sisters, is that through the love of Jesus, you may be filled with peace in uncertainty, trust in the unknown, and joy in sorrow.